and then Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. And for Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21, a couple of our DA kids and youth will be reading them that portion of Scripture up on the screen, so follow along as they read God's Word for us.
Romans 12:9. Love must be sincere, but hate what is evil and cling to what is good.
Be devoted to one another. In love, honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited.
Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
And then chapter 13, verses 8 through 10 says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So we thank Isaac and we thank Lily and Ish for reading this morning. And as we would prepare to look into God's word, listen to the words of this song that Leah is going to sing for us by Casting Crowns, If We Are the Body.
Crowded in worship today, as she slips in, trying to fade into the faces. The girl's teasing laughter is carrying farther than they know, farther than they know. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? There is. Traveler is far away from home. He sheds his coat and quietly sinks into the back row. The weight of their judgmental glances tells him that his chances are better out on the road. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? Jesus paid much too high a price for us to pick and choose who should come. We are the body of Christ. If we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? If we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? There is a way. Jesus is the way.
Thank you, Leah, for singing that song for us. It's a powerful song. If we are the body, last week we looked in Romans chapter 12 from verses 3 through 8, talking about because of the body, we function as one. And so out of that, out of the body, there is, as Paul talked about, the gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He sandwiches in 1 Corinthians 13, love. What love is. Love is patient, love is kind. And his point in all of that is you can do all of it and you can be the body and you can have the gifts and you can exercise all of these things and play our part and function as one. But if there is not love, we are, as he says in 1 Corinthians 13, a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. In essence, we amount to nothing. And it's his same format here in Romans chapter 12 when he talks about the body and we functioning as one last week. Today, if we do not do it without love, then we're missing the point. And if we are the body, why isn't his arms reaching and his hands ministering and his words teaching? And so it's a call for us today to love radically, because Christians, really, we should be the most loving people on the planet. Amen? We should be the most loving people on the planet. After all, Jesus said that the world would know that we are Christians by the way that we, if you know it, by the way we what? Love. And love one another. Yet as that song evidenced, Christians are often characterized as some of the most unloving, judgmental, and lacking in compassionate people. The very ones who should be the most loving are often known for the very opposite. And so we've been in this series looking at we love radically because of the gospel, using this quote by J.D. Greer from his book Gaining by Losing, that the gospel's not just the diving board, it is the pool. That this whole concept of the diving board is the gospel is not just the message that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, you will be saved. For it is with your mouth or with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's good news, isn't it? And oftentimes when we think of the gospel, it ends right there, that's the gospel. But the gospel is not just the diving board. It's not just belief in that message that saves us, forgives us of our sin, makes us a child of God, and changes our eternal destination from hell to heaven. It is really all of life. And the more we understand the gospel, the more it changes us to where we begin to live like Jesus, not because we're supposed to, but because we are motivated to do it. It's just what happens as the gospel continues to change us and make us more like Jesus. We function as one. We offer our bodies. We are transformed some of the places that we've looked. And today, when we swim around more and understand the gospel more, and Jesus changes us with it, we begin to be people who love more radically. Love more radically. We're going to look this morning at three ways to love radically. that Paul lays out in these verses this morning. There's sermon notes in your bulletins if you're interested in following along, filling those in. There's also some packets of information and worksheets for the kids as well that they can follow along this morning also. Three ways. The first is by loving one another. This is what Isaac and Lily read for us in chapter 12, verses 9 through 16. This is focused on how we love one another in the church or in the body of Christ. And so Paul could have just said, love one another, but he doesn't. In verses 9 through 16, he gives 12 commands that describe and instruct us on how to love one another. So it's like this. If I told you to make an ice cream sundae and eat it, that would accomplish a purpose, right? But if I told you, I want you to get a waffle bowl, and I need you to go out and get vanilla ice cream and chocolate ice cream and cookie dough ice cream. And then in that bowl, I need you to put one scoop, not small scoops, really large scoops, so that it's almost, the waffle bowl can barely contain those three scoops of ice cream. And then after you're done with that, I need you to warm up some caramel, hot caramel and some hot fudge. And I want you to not just put a little drizzle, I want that ice cream to be completely covered with the caramel and the chocolate. And then if you are not allergic to peanuts, go out and get the saltiest peanuts that you have and put those on there. And then get some Oreo cookies and smash those up so you have Oreo cookie bits and put those on there as well. Then get the most colorful sprinkles you have, put those sprinkles on. Then that whipped cream has to then cover everything. You have to not even know that there's anything under it. There's so much whipped cream. And then, of course, what do you put on top? A cherry. Now, everybody wants an ice cream sundae, right? Yes. So here's my advice to you. Use the upcoming stimulus money, if you may be getting that, and go stimulate the economy at one of our local ice cream stores around here and satisfy that longing this afternoon. But it's the difference between eat an ice cream sundae, and here are all the things that are going to go into that ice cream sundae that I want you to eat. This is what Paul does in these verses. He doesn't just say love one another. He says in loving one another in the church, do it in such a way. Here are the 12 ways that he tells the church at Rome to love one another. Now, for the sake of time, we're going to go through these rather quick. We could probably have about 3 weeks of messages on all of these, but I want to hit the high points for you, and you can do your own more in-depth study on this as we go. Love one another. Here's the 12 ways he tells. He says to do it with sincerity. He says love must be sincere. This isn't about hypocrisy. This isn't about fakeness. This isn't about on the outside trying to be loving, but in our hearts, have our hearts be far from love towards one another. It's an equal heart, equal action love. Sometimes we have to love with our action for our heart to follow. Sometimes, though, we have to just be honest with people and honest with ourselves and God that we're wrestling to do it, but still do it with sincerity in heart and in action, working towards that, bringing those two together with sincerity. Secondly, with discernment. With discernment. Isaac had read for us, hate what is evil and cling to what is good. There's a discernment between good and evil. And Paul says to hate what is evil and to cling to what is good. Now, I got these two trains from the nursery train table, and there are some of these magnets together that are going to push off of each other. When they're on opposite attraction, they're going to push and push, and you're not going to be able to bring them together. But when they are attracted to one another, they are pulled together tight. And we had some that I really wish I could have found when we were, for our kids. Man, you could not for the life of you put those things together. You may have tried that sometimes when you have magnets that oppose each other, and they're moving all over the place. This is a pretty mild pushback, but it's there a little bit. But when it comes to evil and it comes to discernment, we hate what is evil. It's going to repel us. We want to push back on it. Not hate the person, but hate evil. And instead, cling to what is good. Hold tight to it. hate what is evil, but cling to what is good. We need the Lord's discernment by the Holy Spirit to be able to do this. The third command that Paul gives is we love one another with affection. With affection. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, brotherly affection. Verse 10. This devotion is that same kind of devotion that family members have for one another. It's a brotherly love. It's a family affection. If we're honest, sometimes family members drive you nuts, right? If some of the kids are here, your siblings, your brother or your sister may drive you nuts, right? But at the end of the day, if someone was picking on them on the playground, you'd be right after them. You'd be standing up for them because you don't mess with my brother. You don't mess with my sister. You may be the worst of enemies at times at home and fighting over things. But when somebody gets in the way of your brother or sister, you're standing right up for them. It's that brotherly affection. It's that family love. So we love one another in the church family with affection. We love one another, fourth, with honor. With honor. Honor one another above yourselves. In other words, give preference. Let others go first. If you would decide to get some ice cream, rather than being the first one in line to order, you let others in your family go and order first. If there's somebody that you get there at the same time, rather than being like, oh, I gotta get my ice cream, and you cut in front of them, say, you go first. This is loving one another. It's honoring others. It's giving others the priority over yourself willingly. It's letting family members pick the TV show or the movie. It's being kind to others when they are sad. With honor, giving others first choice above yourself. Not having my way, but letting others have theirs. Loving one another, the fifth, is to do it with enthusiasm. With enthusiasm. Verse 11, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Sometimes we have to stir up a little bit of enthusiasm about our faith. And the only way that this is possible when we're a little bit weary and when we're lacking in that energy to be faithful in seeking the Lord is to ask the Holy Spirit to do it. Sometimes, if you're like me, there are days when you just don't want to read your Bible or you don't want to pray or it is hard and you're tired and you wish you could do other things. But asking the Lord, help me, give me a zeal, give me an enthusiasm and excitement to be with you in prayer. This Wednesday, we had a night of prayer and worship. And it was a great time. And one of the things I heard from a number of people was the longer we were here together, worshiping the Lord, praying together, the more we were able to let all those things that were wearying us and all those things that were getting in the way of life and busyness and stress and all those things, they began to fall away slowly. And you were able just to focus then and sense the presence of the Lord and the Holy Spirit moving and working and had some great times being able to pray with and for each other as we came to the conclusion of that evening. Sometimes you just have to stick into it. You have to go after it. We do it with enthusiasm even when we're not feeling it. The sixth way we love one another is with patience. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Things don't always go smoothly in our faith. Things don't always go smoothly in the church. Sometimes we have difficulty with each other. But with patience, being joyful in hope, knowing that God is always going to get his way, he is always going to win. And rather than looking at it as, oh, this is a hopeless situation, we have hope that God is going to bring us out on the other side. With hope. Patient in difficulty, being patient in the hard times, and faithful in prayer, committing to continue patiently, faithfully in prayer. We love one another with patience. The seventh way we love one another is with generosity. Generosity. Verse 13, share with God's people who are in need. Generously share with what you have with those around you who are in need. Now, for sometimes it may be that they need some food or they need some money. They need help financially. Other times they may need comfort. They may need someone to listen to them. They may need somebody just to be with them, not trying to fix their problems, but just being with them. And so being generous is with our resources, all of our resources, our time, our money, our gifts, being able to give and not just to do it just a little bit, but to do it generously, being really, really over the top and giving them a lot of really, really good stuff. The eighth way we love one another, Paul says, is with hospitality. With hospitality. He says, practice hospitality. Hospitality is not just having someone over for dinner. Although that is a great way to be able to practice hospitality. But hospitality is welcoming a person into your life and being a person who is welcomed into other people's lives. This may look like, for some of the kids in school, especially I know a lot of them are going to be going back more regularly beginning this week, is at lunch, if there is somebody and there's some way that you can, if you don't have an assigned seat or something, being able to say, hey, sit with me, or down the road, sit with me, or out on the playground when you have recess. If there is another child who looks lonely or who looks sad or doesn't have somebody to play with, of inviting them into your friend group or going to them and playing with them, leaving what you are doing for someone who is sad or lonely. That is hospitality. It is welcoming somebody into your life. Or if somebody says, hey, I'd like you to come to my birthday party. And even if it may not be the one that you would say, boy, I can't wait to go to that birthday party, because they are inviting you into their life, you say, yeah, I'll go. And I'm going to be welcomed into your life. Thank you for inviting me to your party. That's hospitality. For adults, we can do the same kinds of things, looking for ways to welcome others into our lives. And if somebody gives us the opportunity to be welcomed into theirs, we take that invitation. We jump at it because they are welcoming us into their lives. It's hospitality. The ninth way that we love one another is with blessing. With blessing. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. This looks ahead to the next section, which is dealing with our enemies. But loving one another means speaking life, not death. Blessing people, not cursing them. Using the tongue to bring life to them, not cursing or death. Using the tongue for blessing. The tenth way, we're getting to these. Got a couple more. Is with sympathy. With sympathy. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. With sympathy, rejoicing and mourning with others. Loving is about entering people's lives in the same way as hospitality, loving them in both good and in bad. Like a husband and wife at their wedding day who says, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, all of these things, it is with sympathy, rejoicing and grieving both of those areas. Loving one another in the good and the bad. The 11th way is with harmony. With harmony. Verse 16a, live in harmony with one another. Harmony is having literally the same, thinking the same way towards one another. Thinking the same way towards one another. It goes back to verse 2 of having our minds be renewed, being able to test and approve what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is. It's being on the same page, thinking the same way, similar to being like-minded, and it's the result of renewing your mind. And the last one, the ways to love one another, is with humility. With humility. The rest of verse 16 says, do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Carries the idea of not thinking you're better than everybody else, of not being a snob or being stuck up, but instead looking at others the same way you look at yourself. Whether they are rich or poor, whether they are popular or unpopular, no matter the case, is looking with humility on yourself and towards others. I would encourage you, some of these are easier for you or for me than others. Some of them you may be like, oh yeah, That one's not a challenge for me. But if there's some of these, and I would encourage you during the week to spend some time with the Lord and say, Lord, is there in one or two or three of these that you would be pointing out to me that I need to be paying special attention to? And allowing the Lord to begin to teach you and to fill you with his love more and more, shaping you by the gospel so that you would love one another in the ways that Paul lays out. We're grateful these 12 are distinguished or laid out by in a commentary by John Stott. I think they accurately be able to help us to think through these 12 commands that Paul gives. Because in the church, loving radically means loving one another. And the result, when you love this way, is that the world will know that we are his disciples when we do what? When we love one another. Let's say that together. The world will know, say that with me, the world will know that we are Jesus' disciples. By the way, we love one another. And so this is why. It's not just so that we have this great place, but the world will see a group of people that loves differently. They will see that we are disciples of Jesus. Love one another. Second way we love one another is we love our enemies. We love our enemies. Ish read these for us in verses 17 through 21, and there's three thoughts here. The first, when we love our enemies, we seek to do right, not evil. We seek to do right, not evil. Paul says, do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Evil is repaying evil for evil here in this. In other words, if you hit me, then I'm going to do what? Hit you back. That's evil, as Paul lays it out. Repaying evil for evil. But Paul says, don't just not do that. Don't just not be evil. He says to do it instead of not just doing evil, he says to do what is right in the eyes of others. To do what is right in the eyes of others. Now, obviously, people who aren't believers in Jesus may not agree that what is, to them, what is right is what we believe the Bible says on what is right. But a person who does evil, the thing that we want to do is do everything that we can to live at peace with them. And to do what is right if we are able to and do not violate the standards of Scripture. Friends, I find for myself and I find for others that it's easy for us to be like, well, I did what was right and I tried to be good to them. I tried to help them out. I tried as much as it was possible with me. I did it. Well, what'd you do? Well, I tried. Well, did you try again? No, I tried once and they didn't respond to me. Well, I don't know about you, but oftentimes I need, if I'm in the wrong, if somebody tries to do what is right, most likely if I'm in the wrong already, that first time, I'm all angry, I'm offended, I'm pushing back on even if they're doing something that is right and trying to live at peace with me, it's going to take a lot of time. Friends, I believe sometimes we give up way too quickly. Rather than going and doing it, everything that we can. So Paul says, as much as it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. The question is, on those that you may be not living at peace with, the question is, have you done every possible bit of right to live at peace with them? And that you can say before the Lord, I've tried everything. Lord, is there anything else that I have not done that I could? And if the Lord gives us peace and we're still not able to live at peace with them, then we are free. But I wonder sometimes if we give up way too quick. If I give up way too quick. As much as it is possible with me, have I exhausted all of the possibilities to live at peace? Don't give up easily. Keep seeking to do right, not evil. Secondly, loving your enemies means trusting in God, not in revenge. Trusting in God, not in revenge. Paul says, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it's written, is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Paul says, when wrong is done to us, it's natural to want to take revenge. You with me on that? When wrong is done to us, we want to take revenge. We want to retaliate. But Paul says, no, don't do that. And here's the reason. When we seek to take revenge, we are putting ourselves in God's position. We are trusting in revenge. We're not trusting in God. Trusting in God means that we trust that he will repay the person who has done wrong for us, to us, that he will settle the score. Trusting God is about trusting that God will do what is right, and it's not my role or your role to make it right. That's a hard one. If I think that I have to go and settle this thing and get back at that person, what that is saying is I don't trust that God's timing is right and that God will handle this justly and fairly. I mean, that's convicting to me. If I think I have to settle this thing, I'm saying, God, you don't know how to handle this well. And it means, too, that in this life, you may not see it handled right. But all of us will stand before the judgment seat. And at that place, God will make all that is wrong right. Our role is not to take revenge. Our role